Are you like me and tracking the polls obsessively this election year? Well, Dan Pfeiffer's right there with you, and he's taking them seriously, but not literally.
Take an average of the polls. Don't forget about any one poll. And the thing that we try to tell everyone in every episode of this podcast is a poll that has Biden up to and a poll that has Biden down to, they all tell you the exact same thing, which is this is a very, very close race. The goal of this podcast is to help people understand polling and freak out about it just a little bit less.
Explore the latest polls, what they actually mean, and whether or not it's time to hit the panic button. Tune into Polar Coaster with Dan Pfeiffer, Cricket's latest subscriber exclusive show. To get access, subscribe to our Friends of the Pod community only at Cricket.com/friends. Welcome to Pod Save America. I'm Jon Favreau.
I'm John Lovett.
And with us today, we have Editor-in-Chief of Cricket Media, Brian Beutler. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys.
We are doing a special Moscow on the Potomac edition of Pod Save America today, thanks to the BuzzFeed story that broke last night. I'll tell you guys, so I did a forum at the Hammer Museum in L.A. about the 2018 elections that Shaniqua McClendon, our political director, put together, and about to go on stage last night, and I see in our Slack channel Michael Martinez send the story about the BuzzFeed thing, and I just saw the headline, and I was like, ooh, that seems like a big deal, and then there's a two-hour event, and I leave, and I just look at Twitter, and it's like, bah, do an emergency pod. So now we're doing an emergency pod.
Is this the first ever emergency pod?
Maybe.
So we've it was I'm one so of our New Year's resolutions.
To do more emergency pods. Okay, so here's what happened. Let's start here. During a confirmation hearing earlier this week, Senator Lindsey Graham asked Attorney General nominee William Barr whether it would be a crime if, quote, the president tried to coach somebody not to testify or testify falsely. Barr's answer, which he repeated again, when asked a similar question by Senator Amy Klobuchar, was yes. Then, last night, Jason Leopold and Anthony Cormier of BuzzFeed broke the following story. Here's the lead. Quote, President Donald Trump directed his longtime attorney Michael Cohen to lie to Congress about negotiations to build a Trump Tower in Moscow, according to two federal law enforcement officials involved in an investigation of the matter. Trump also supported a plan set up by Cohen to visit Russia during the presidential campaign in order to personally meet President Vladimir Putin and jumpstart the tower negotiations. Quote, make it happen, the sources said Trump told Cohen. Brian, just to refresh everybody's minds, what do we already know for sure about the Trump Tower Moscow deal from both the previous BuzzFeed story by Leopold and Cormier and Mueller's sentencing memo?
Right. So I guess we should start at the beginning of the story, which is that initially Trump and everyone around him denied that there were any contacts with anyone in Russia during the campaign at all.
That's right. That's
it was
good.
Unequivocal, very unequivocal. That story evolved when I believe it was Yahoo News, but it might have been BuzzFeed also revealed that there had been negotiations between the Trump Organization and Moscow about building a Trump Tower there. And this is where Michael Cohen put himself in jeopardy, is that in order to, like, reduce the sense that maybe there was some kind of quid pro quo arrangement between the Trump campaign and Moscow, where the Trump campaign promised policy spoils and in return Moscow delivered election assistance and maybe a Trump tower.
A tower to boot. We'll help you win the election. We'll throw in a tower.
Well, it's the election if you win, the tower if you lose.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
The BuzzFeed story suggests that the tower deal was going to be worth like $300 million to the Trump Organization, which is bigger than any deal they've had going back decades. So it was a real inducement.
That's interesting.
Plus, I bet they don't. I don't think Trump Tower is like, I don't think you get Wi-Fi like with the hotel room. I think you have to, I bet they're the kind of douchey hotels where you have to pay for the Wi-Fi.
But this is the key. This is the key. And this is where Cohen put himself in jeopardy and thus, you know, put himself later in a position to incriminate Trump about pressuring him to lie to Congress under oath, is that to minimize the sense that there was some sort of illicit arrangement here, Cohen told Congress that this was a you know, a nothing deal. We had some early conversations about it. There might have been a letter of intent, but it went nowhere. And you know, this, you know, we stopped talking about it before the primaries were even over. It's not that big a deal. Turns out that the negotiations continued well into election season, and were much farther along than anyone let on, including under oath. And they involved not just Trump, but Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump Jr. And so this is reportedly what Trump asked Cohen to lie about. Cohen's already been charged, essentially. He confessed that he lied to Congress under oath. And Robert Mueller hinted in a sentencing memo last month. He said, basically, Cohen has been cooperating with us in good faith, including by telling us basically the provenance of this testimony that included the false statements about the Trump Tower Moscow deal. So Mueller was kind of hinting back in December that other people might have been involved in helping him craft whatever cover story he told Congress. And now BuzzFeed is saying that that was at the direction of Trump himself.
So basically, Cohen tells Congress, you know what? We had this. There was the potential deal with Russia for a Trump Tower thing, but it ended in, I think, January of 16,
yeah,
right?
That.
And Trump wasn't really involved, and the kids weren't really involved. Donald Trump Jr. testified to Congress. I was, quote, peripherally aware of this deal, right? And so no big deal, nothing happened. I didn't even really talk to them that much, whatever. And then we find out from Mueller's sentencing memo, so we know this is true, that Cohen lied about this, that they were talking about it well into the campaign, I think into June, June of 2016, that also Michael Cohen had not just been talking with random Russians about a tower, but had communicated with the Russian government itself, including Putin's press secretary, I believe.
Yeah.
And so
that's all right.
And so there was a lot more contact. So, and then this story that came out last night, how does this add to what we already know? What is the new information in the story? So this is that Trump, both that Trump told Cohen to lie about it, and that Trump was willing to go to Moscow during the campaign and meet with Putin himself?
Yeah, so that's been kind of floating in the background of all this, is that Michael Cohen was going to go to Moscow first and basically, you know, set up a future meeting between Trump and Putin that was going to happen when Putin visited New York for a meeting of the UN. That plan, I think, got scuttled because news broke in the Washington Post that the DNC had been hacked and that Russia was most likely behind it. And so things got too hot.
That's a little too hot.
And so they called it off. So what else new does this tell us? It tells us, well, suborning perjury is a crime. Importantly, it is a crime that has formed the basis of impeachment for Richard Nixon and for Bill Clinton. So if it is substantiated by Congress that Trump did tell Cohen to lie to Congress, they either have to follow the precedent that they set in the Nixon era and in the Clinton era, or they have to kind of explain why Trump is different.
And so, by the way, does William Barr, who may be attorney general, because he just said if a president coaches someone to lie to Congress, it is a crime.
It would be so Trump, by the way, to just withdraw Barr's nomination now. Just to be like,
he should. Well, there was also that story that said Trump was caught off guard by how chummy Barr and Mueller were. Like, wait, they're friends? They hang out? Their wives are friends? What the fuck?
Yeah,
that's not what I was bargaining for.
So, Brian, you alluded to this. In Mueller's sentencing memo of Cohen, he writes, Cohen provided relevant and useful information concerning his contacts with persons connected to the White House during the 2017-2018 period and described the circumstances of preparing and circulating his response to the congressional inquiries while continuing to accept responsibility for the false statements contained within it. So basically this means Michael Cohen told us that about all the contacts he had with both the White House and people who helped him prepare his testimony to Congress about the Moscow Trump Tower, which we know is a lie. Why don't you think that the memo stated directly that Trump directed him to prepare the false testimony, since Mueller did say, the sentencing memo did say that Trump directed Cohen to lie about the payments, or the SDNY memo said that Trump directed Cohen to lie about the payments to the women, to Stormy Daniels and stuff like that. It's weird that in the Mueller memo, he didn't make clear that Trump could be behind this.
Right. So I think the answer to the question is that if he was going to make an allegation like that, that would be an allegation of a crime, just like in the SDNY, the Southern District of New York, charging documents for Cohen, they refer to individual one as having instructed Michael Cohen to make the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. And prosecutors just do not make criminal allegations outside of indictment. So this was a sentencing memo that was meant to suggest to a judge, you can be lenient with Michael Cohen because he's providing us useful information. To back that up, he can't say, and here are the crimes that we know happened. But what he can do is say, we got useful information about X, Y, and Z. He wouldn't put, Mueller would not have put anything in the sentencing memo that was irrelevant. Like, it's not useful to Mueller if Michael Cohen truthfully said, I wrote this testimony all by myself. Nobody coached me on it. Nobody helped me with it. Nobody told me to lie to Congress. I spoke to people in the White House, and they were super honest with me about everything, and they told me to tell the truth, and I lied anyway, right? Like, that would not be something that Mueller then went to a judge and said, look at how honest he was. Like, you can be lenient with him. The point of putting it in there is to suggest Cohen told us about more bad acts that happened around this testimony.
And presumably, if Mueller does include this as part of whatever his report mm-hmm. is or whatever is to come, he will do so while substantiating it.
Yes.
Because you see, first of all, the BuzzFeed report doesn't just rely on Michael Cohen. Right.
It doesn't rely on Michael Cohen at all, which is, it's funny because the Giuliani, White House, Fox News, right. it's all the same response is, Michael Cohen is a liar. How could this story be? Yeah. Like, anything Michael Cohen says you can't trust because he's a liar. It's like, well, fine. Yeah. And then Jason Leopold wrote the story was like, yeah, we didn't rely on Michael Cohen. In fact, I'd love to talk to Michael Cohen. Michael, you know my number. Please call me. We'd love to hear you for the story. Because they didn't rely on Michael Cohen. What they relied on is it said the special counsel's office learned about Trump's directive for Cohen to lie to Congress through interviews with multiple witnesses from the Trump Organization yeah. and internal company emails, text messages, and a cache of other documents. Cohen then acknowledged those instructions during his interviews with Mueller.
Right. This is important because it
that captures a lot, though, right? That captures a very important moment in Michael Cohen's life.
it's important on two fronts. One is that the claim in the story is that Mueller had Trump dead to rights on suborning perjury, and then Cohen confirmed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's incredible.
So it's not just Mueller saying that Cohen told him this, and he's taking Cohen's word for it. And then the second point is that in reporting it, BuzzFeed didn't go to Michael Cohen and say, oh, yeah, Mueller's got Trump dead to rights on obstruction of justice and suborning perjury. They got it from law enforcement sources and may have confirmed it with Cohen's subsequently, but they didn't source the story to Cohen. According to the story, Mueller isn't sourcing the allegation, if it's to come, to Cohen either. He's got it from documents and from other witness testimony.
And normally you'd say, well, presumably nobody would be so stupid as to put this kind of brazen criminality in email. And yet, time and again, that is exactly what they do inside of the Trump Organization. We have seen emails from the Trump children saying things like, no one can find out about it. If they do, they'll know it's fraud. Or if it's later in the summer.
If it's what you say, I love it. Especially
later in the summer. So, these were people throughout the campaign. You know, one question I have is, and I'm wondering what you guys think of this, how much of what we are looking at is a group of people in way over their head who did not believe that, yeah, sure, who did not believe Donald Trump would be president and saw the campaign as an opportunity to make money, get a tower off the ground, all right, and get the most worth they could by giving Putin whatever they wanted in the platform. Trump could be nice during the campaign, and then they could build a tower and make some cash after the fact. I mean, one thing that I always come back to is Michael Cohen's experience of working with the Russians mirrored Donald Trump's experience on the campaign. I believe Michael Cohen's first attempt to reach out to the Russians was through a public press email. His first attempt to get in contact with them was...
I don't even know if it was the first attempt, but it was certainly a successful attempt because that was – he eventually – someone responded to him and he talked to the – government.
But the Russian government, this guy – this is not some like low-level like assistant to the assistant.
This isn't like info at RussianGovernment.com.
But he's reaching out blindly
right.
and seeing just how much being connected to Donald Trump can get him. And it turns out the closer Donald Trump got to being the nominee and then the president, the more and more it got him, and none of them ever looked back.
I think here's what we know for sure. We do know that everyone in the campaign up through Donald Trump himself did not believe that he was going to win the election. Right. I mean, none of them really planned for this. Donald Trump himself, when he found out he won, was fairly shocked. So you're absolutely
Melania
right.
wept.
So, you're right. So you're absolutely right that their mindset during the campaign was, and I think Donald Trump, by the way, said this last time we had a Trump Tower Moscow story. He said, like, Well, yeah, there's nothing, remember, very legal, very cool. And if I didn't win the election, I wanted to make some money and I wanted to have my business. Basically, he admitted that.
I mean, there's more to sort of back up your interpretation of events. One is that they had done basically no preparation for a transition, right? They didn't think they were going to win. The other is, in my mind, if you go back and look at how like Trump's aspect changed after he won, and like both right before and right after he took office, it was sort of like, I won, oh shit, they're going to come looking for all the crimes that we committed. Right. And he pivoted to this, like, got to cover everything up, got to obstruct justice. I mean, I think it's very possible that he also told Mike Flynn to lie, which – and Mike Flynn then did lie to the FBI.
And then he said to Comey, please let Flynn go. Right. And then when Comey wouldn't do that, then he fired Comey. I mean –
these were
things, all makes sense.
These were things that he never thought he'd have to tell everyone to lie about, because I think it, you know, everyone was gonna kind of disband. Well, you know, we gave it our all,
right,
didn't
right.
work out, and you
let's
know,
jump back into that deal. Just let's get that tower.
In the nature of things, you know, it would look pretty bad if the Hillary Clinton Justice Department started prosecuting the Trump campaign. So they just kind of assumed they'd get away with it all.
Right. It's a little bit like, you know, when like on The Sopranos, they would take over a sporting goods store. You know, their goal was not to sell kayaks. Their goal was to strip the copper out of the walls and use it as a place to launder money. And then all of a sudden, they become the best sports store in New Jersey.
What?
So
they become president of sports. Keep going.
Is it possible that Trump also? He's not just content with suborning perjury by asking Michael Cohen to commit perjury. Is it possible that he committed perjury himself and lied to Mueller?
I mean, Trump obstructs justice in various ways in public all the time, right? He just today, like, sort of subtly threatened Michael Cohen's father-in-law.
Mm. Not very subtly, Brian.
Right, okay. No. Just he tweeted about him. Like, basically he's trying to sic prosecutors or some other goons onto Michael Cohen's father-in-law to get him to not testify to incriminating facts before Congress next month, right? So he does this shit all the time, and it's super illegal, and it's definitely impeachable. But for whatever reason, we like have been waiting for evidence of one of these impeachable crimes to kind of fall into our laps and have it match. Something that formed the basis of an impeachment of a past president, so that the Republicans who defend Trump and the Democrats who are hesitant to talk about impeachment have nowhere to run. Like, they can't claim this is slightly different, or we don't have enough information to substantiate this, or, you know, we don't know if prosecutors would really regard that tweet as witness tampering or whatever. Like, this, if the report is accurate and Congress can substantiate it all, then it is like on all fours exactly what Congress has used as a basis of impeachment in the past. So that's one reason why it's a bombshell. The other reason it's a bombshell is because it suggests there's an active cover-up of much worse crimes, right? You don't get
yeah,
in
that's
this
deep. Why? So yeah, the big question is, why did they lie? Why did Michael Cohen lie? Why did Donald Trump direct him to lie about this deal? If this is just a real estate deal in Russia, he's a private citizen running for president.
Right.
Maybe it looks bad, but why lie about, you know, oh, it was over in January and not June? Like, why go to this length to cover this up?
I mean, my suspicion is that there was a big quid pro quo deal that involved Russia committing crimes on Trump's behalf to win the election, and in exchange, he promised them certain deliverables. In Syria, in Ukraine,
NATO lifting
sanctions, etc., on and on down the line, and that this is in some sense provable, and so you need to engage in a big cover-up. So do I think that he possibly not just told Michael Cohen to lie under oath, but also in his answers to Robert Mueller for the record that he might have lied himself? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the pattern here is clear, and Trump being a liar is super well known. He's lied under oath in the past.
It's also worth remembering, too, that in the oh shit phase, we won, right? One of his first acts as president-elect is to publicly let Vladimir Putin know that he doesn't need to worry about whatever Barack Obama says
right.
about sanctions. That in that immediate moment, you can imagine.
Well, that's what he told. Yeah, that's what he told Flynn to
right.
tell the Russian ambassador, which right. got Flynn in trouble.
And you can imagine there he's wrestling with this incredible jam he's now found himself in, which is he wanted a tower. He wanted a tower. He made a bunch of promises. But what he wanted was the tower. And now all of a sudden, he is in cahoots with Vladimir Putin. He has to be nice to him because Vladimir Putin knows about all the shit that went on during the campaign.
So that is such a key point mm-hmm. here is that because everyone's like, you know, what does Putin have on Trump? Is it the P tape, right? But what,
yes.
Yeah, this, yes.
all right.
That's why we have Brian.
We should let people know that Brian is covered in red string. He also came in with a bunch of wax sealed envelopes. All right. And he's dropping them all over the place.
I don't even know what that's
It's just bizarre. He says he got to get them to his dead drop.
Okay.
I don't know who's picking those things up.
So yes, the P tape may exist, but Putin for a long time now has had a lot of blackmail on Donald Trump, and Donald Trump's known it because Putin has known for years now that Donald Trump has been lying about his contacts with Russia and about this Trump Tower deal
and this,
the whole time. Putin's known.
And this dovetails with a story that was like, you know, a century ago earlier this week, I think, where we were kind of marveling about the fact that Trump has gone to great lengths to conceal transcripts and notes about his private conversations
right.
with Vladimir Putin,
right.
like five different conversations over the course of the last 2 years. You know, all we can do is speculate, but like if you were being essentially extorted by the leader of a different country because they had compromising information on you, in this case about Trump Tower, but also possibly about the P tape.
Or possibly just about other long-standing financial entanglements with nefarious and
money laundering,
nefarious organizations, Russian oligarchs, which Trump has been sort of in bed with for a very long time in one way or
right.
another.
We are just left to wonder whether one reason Trump wants all of those transcripts, I guess they're not transcripts, notes from his interpreters to be withheld from his own government is because in those meetings there is some indication that he's being extorted, right? Whether it's, you know, super overt or not, that Trump has leverage over him and exerts it when they meet privately.
And, you know, our friend Marcy Wheeler, who we've had on the pod before, points out, too, that this wasn't just a real estate deal with any old company in some foreign country. Mm-hmm. This was a real estate deal that involved partnering with Russian banks that were under U.S. sanctions. Mm-hmm. So that is another thing that Cohen and possibly Trump may have known, that they were about to enter into this deal with the Russian government for a real estate deal, and the funding had to come from a bank that was under sanctions by the United States, which that's not just any real estate deal.
I mean, is it possible this is just the producers? That's all this has been the whole time? They just needed the show to tank, and it fucking was a hit?
Yeah.
It's the producers with Russian oligarchs and international conspiracies to defraud the United States. The other piece of this, too, which is always worth coming back to, is like look, we know but we have a lot of data about decisions that have been made. We're trying to put together a lot of deeply strange, unique circumstances about Donald Trump and his behavior. And we don't have all the answers, and we don't know what Mueller knows. We don't know what has been over-torqued or not. And one thing I always come back to is Donald Trump doesn't care about America's global interests. He doesn't care about NATO. He has no personal ideology. It would be so valuable for Donald Trump to rebuke Vladimir Putin in some way. It would be so useful to him with Republicans to go out to the podium and say, do I think it would be good if we got along with Russia? You can even give him that. Yes. But Russia attacks journalists and it undermines NATO. And we love this country. And we're going to make sure that we stand up for American values. The political windfall for him for engaging in just that small amount of Republican orthodoxy would be a huge relief for the weak-kneed Republicans in the Senate. And he won't do it.
Well,
he won't do it.
More to the point, I think he acts as though he realizes that the fact that the Russia-U.S. relationship has deteriorated under his presidency is a threat to him. Because when he talks about the Russia investigation, his meetings with Putin. It's all, there's always this backdrop of, you know, it would be great if we could be friends, but there's all, there's the witch hunt and there's this, and so it's impeding me from you know, making a deal with Putin. It almost sounds like what he's saying is like trying to bide himself time in a way, yeah, that like he was supposed, like his being elected was supposed to redound to Putin's benefits in XYZ ways. And it's not really happening, at least not as fully as it could. And Trump seems to worry that like if he doesn't like deliver, that what, you know, Putin has receipts, essentially.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about what's next.
Guys, it's been a rough year. It's going to get rougher, and you deserve a little treat for not going insane yet. You could head to the local tiki bar and tell the bartender, do your worst. But we have a better idea for you, which is pick out something from the Crooked Store. The store is stocked with tons of new merch. It's perfect for the spring. And classics like the Friend of the Pod tees that you'll be wearing long after the next administration or the next fascist dictatorship, depending on how things go. Pick up a new tee for the warm weather ahead, a mug that'll remind you to stay involved this election year, or a hat celebrating your favorite pod. Go to crooked.com/store to shop.
Are you like me and tracking the polls obsessively this election year? Well, Dan Pfeiffer's right there with you, and he's taking them seriously, but not literally.
Take an average of the polls. Don't forget about any one poll. And the thing that we try to tell everyone in every episode of this podcast is a poll that has Biden up to and a poll that has Biden down to, they all tell you the exact same thing, which is this is a very, very close race. The goal of this podcast is to help people understand polling and freak out about it just a little bit less.
Explore the latest polls, what they actually mean, and whether or not it's time to hit the panic button. Tune into Polar Coaster with Dan Pfeiffer, Crooked's latest subscriber-exclusive show. To get access, subscribe to our Friends of the Pod community only at crooked.com/friends. So let's talk about what happens next. I imagine right now that reporters at the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, everywhere else are trying to confirm this story. Mm-hmm. Just to say a little about the story itself and these reporters, you know, Leopold and Cormier also broke the original Trump Tower Moscow story a long time ago now, which was basically 100% corroborated by Mueller's sentencing memo on Cohen. So their first bit of reporting was completely accurate. The sourcing in that original story was, according to two FBI agents, mm-hmm. The sourcing in this story that we're talking about now is according to two federal law enforcement officials. So it is similar sourcing. Mm-hmm. So you know, people are going to talk about, you know, is the story true? Can we confirm it? Other outlets are going to try to confirm it. But, you know, their reporting has held up in the past. So I guess people are going to try to confirm the story.
If they're wrong, we'll just take this episode down.
Yeah, we'll just take it down. what happens in Congress now? We have not heard a lot from Republicans today. They're doing their sort of like they're not doing their "I haven't read the story yet" or "he's just an unusual president" thing. So far, they're just not talking at all. They're all disappeared.
There was a Kevin McCarthy shaped hole in the side of the Capitol, and apparently there was a cartoon like trail that went all the way from D.C. to an avocado field in the Central Valley of California. And that's where his trail does run cold.
So, Democrats, you know, Joaquin Castro, a congressman from Texas, said he should be impeached or resign if this is true. Schiff, Chris Murphy, all these other people, they said they're going to investigate this.
I thought Murphy's statement was the most interesting. He was basically like, we can't – look, if Robert Mueller is treating this – like any other investigation and eventual prosecution, right? He's going to wait until he's ready to seek an indictment. He's going to get an indictment. It's going to name the people, at least in, you know, on the obstruction side of things, who obstructed justice, and it'll either include Trump's name or it'll refer to him as individual one. And we don't know how long that's going to take. And if it takes until well into this year, then you're getting so close to the election that it's impossible for Congress to do its job, you know, to begin impeachment proceedings without it getting tangled up in the election process. And he's saying we don't need to wait for Mueller to finish to start doing this ourselves. Like, I think that there is
that was strong.
There's growing a growing demand among Democrats to start getting their hands on some of this evidence, whether from Mueller directly or from the same sources Mueller pulled from himself.
That's important, too, for another reason. You know, we are it is amazing how history repeats itself. But, you know, we're basically slowly filling out the Nixon Mad Libs for impeachment. Right. And so you have one article of impeachment against Nixon. It's around obstruction of justice. You have a second article of impeachment against Nixon. It's basically about breaking the law.
Yeah.
And, you know, misusing the office. And then but there is a third article of impeachment. And it's basically not allowing Congress to do its job to investigate Richard Nixon. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons it's really important to get Congress in the game is because we will learn a lot about what Donald Trump does and doesn't do, how his team cooperates and doesn't cooperate, who is willing to testify, who requires a subpoena. All of that will be informative, even as it kind of runs behind what Robert Mueller
is doing. Yeah, I mean, this is an investigation of how exactly Donald Trump betrayed his country, right? And the obstruction angle on it is important, but it is as part of a cover-up of the betrayal, right? And all along, Congress, particularly Democrats in Congress, have treated the Mueller investigation as like their sort of get-out-of-jail-free card for having to take this crisis head-on, right? And so that means waiting until Robert Mueller says definitively or not, Donald Trump cheated in the election by partnering with a hostile foreign intelligence service to sabotage Hillary Clinton. That we don't know, A, whether Robert Mueller is ever going to be able to conclude whether that happened one way or another. He might just go silent on that question if he can't substantiate a full conspiracy that involves Trump. And it might drag on past the election. We need clarity on this sooner than we can get it if Congress is going to sit on its hands until Mueller's done.
It's also not – it's all – like, they have two different jobs. Mm-hmm. Robert Mueller's job is to prove crimes.
Yeah.
It is Congress's job to find the truth.
Yeah.
And those are different responsibilities. And
well, it's Mueller's job to, you know, prove the truth true, but like Brian said, not on anyone's timeline but his own.
But not on anyone.
Meanwhile, we have crimes piling up now.
Yeah.
But
right?
It's not even about but it is he has a specific mission, right? It is an investigation of potential crimes. And Congress's job is to oversee the administration in a much broader way. Obviously, they should try to uncover crimes if they exist, but also just general incompetence, malfeasance, things that might not rise to the level of crimes.
Disloyalty,
et cetera. These are more complicated, subtle distinctions and still worthy of our knowing.
So, you know, we end with one day to circle on your calendars. February 7th, Michael Cohen will be testifying again before Congress. Now, I heard Anthony Cormier say today that his sources told him that Cohen did cut a deal with Mueller to say, you know, I will not talk about in my testimony anything that is still mm-hmm. under investigation by Mueller. So you can imagine that there may be some questions that Cohen gets where he's going to say, like, I can't say, but this isn't. But what do you think we might be able to learn? What would you want to ask Michael Cohen?
Who? I think I would just ask him, did Trump ask you to lie under oath to Congress because he was worried about more damning things that might come out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that way he doesn't have to say anything about whether there was a hotel involved, whether the hotel was in Moscow, and whether that hotel was going to be a prize for, you know, Syria and Ukraine.
Right.
He can just say, yes, there was much worse stuff happening, and that's why he wanted me to lie. That's probably where I'd go. In the meantime, I'm going to be looking out for any indication that Trump's threats to Cohen's father-in-law are having an effect. I mean, Cohen hasn't been subpoenaed, as far as I know. And, you know, he's going to be sentenced to prison shortly after he's scheduled to testify. And Trump's goal seems to be to try to get Cohen to shut his mouth one way or another. I mean, this is like
such
incredible
a fucking
gangster
mobster.
Shit, right? Yeah.
Oh my god.
And it's not crazy to me to imagine that Cohen will get nervous and will want to not talk about things that might implicate his his family's business, the taxi cab stuff, the Trump, you know, his role in the Trump organization aside from Russia. It makes me really nervous that Trump might succeed in tampering with this witness.
Also, it's worth keeping in mind that Michael Cohen is a degenerate liar, a criminal, and has been sort of chastised by prosecutors for not being cooperative fully. He got a better record. He got a better grade from Mueller than he did from prosecutors in New York. And that is important.
His incentives have changed. I mean, I am not vouching for Michael Cohen in any way, but all of his criminal behavior occurred when he was in Trump's good graces, and he has slid so far out of Trump's good graces that he's going to prison with no hope of a pardon. He's lost, you know, if he has not already been disbarred, he will be. All he wants is to be able to get out of prison and spend some time with his family without being destitute, right?
Twist, 2020 candidates pledge to pardon Michael Cohen now. Who's
no?
Michael Cohen, welcome to the resistance.
Yeah, I mean, look, from Mueller's perspective, whether Cohen is a liar or not has been so far moot because everything that he has attributed to Michael Cohen has been backed up by emails, texts, documents, all the rest.
Except everything we have seen. We don't know. It all filters through reporting.
Right. It all filters through reporting,
and we don't know what Robert Mueller has not been able to corroborate from Michael Cohen. You know, one other thing I'd add is a lot of this has to, you know, there's plenty of this story that exists in conversations, one-on-one conversations between Donald Trump and Michael Cohen, and we are relying on the fact that these things can be corroborated outside of those conversations. Yeah. But sometimes it may not be possible.
I just think it's worth keeping in mind that Cohen's incentives are completely different. Like, who benefits from him lying under oath when Trump has his back, when Trump might pardon, when they have a lot of money at stake? You know, the idea that you might lie to Congress and hopefully get away with it, like, there's
also
a logic to
also,
it.
Also, he's not lying to Congress.
It's bad. You shouldn't do it.
Lying to Congress doesn't reduce his sentence anymore.
Right. Exactly. So, he's already half pregnant with lying to Congress.
Well, I guess we're right. The one thing we do not know is what crimes connected to Trump or otherwise Michael Cohen has still not been proven to have committed, and what money he is relying on from those acts.
So many crimes, so little time. Okay. that is all we have for today. Thank you, Brian Beutler, for joining us.
That's a title, by the way.
So, too many crimes. Too many crimes.
All right, everyone. We will we'll talk to you. We'll have the next pod on Tuesday of next week. Have a good long weekend.
Keep a lookout for that impeachment eagle soaring majestically.
There it goes.
Over the nation's capital. That unmistakable cry. Furloughed workers looking up overhead. The marshal of the Supreme Court. End of it. End of podcast.